So during the summer series, we've been thinking about the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. So I'm going to read for us now from Philippians chapter 3. I'm not going to begin at the beginning, though. I'm going to begin from verse 7. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And then at verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, who likes watching a question of sport? Some of us do, yeah. So, who's a Phil fan? Who's a Matt fan? I think there are a few more Phil fans than there are Matt fans. Who remembers it going way, way back when it was Bill Beaumont and Emlyn Hughes? A few of us remember that, yeah. Okay, it's been going for years, hasn't it? So, we're going to have our own question of sport, and here's round one. Round one is name the prize, okay? So what you've got to do is, in a minute, a picture will come up, and I think probably we'll all get the first one. The picture will come up, and I want you just to have a look at it and think, yeah, I know what the prize is. So let's just have a look at this one. Name the prize, or the trophy. And it is the World Cup. Of course, that was an easy one. We all knew that. The Football World Cup. Okay, so if you've done well with that one, you can tick that off in your mind and think, yep, I've got one mark. Okay? And if you didn't get that, what planet have you been on for the last however many weeks? Okay, here's the trophy number two, or prize number two. What is this?
Blue Peter badge.
Blue Peter badge. Yes. Oh, has anybody got a Blue Peter badge?
No.
Oh, somebody's got a Blue Peter. Oh, I'm going to do this. What did you get your Blue Peter badge for? Is there anybody else? Oh, we've got some of the back here as well, yeah?
Trouble is, it was so long ago, I can't remember.
I like that. Yeah, can you remember what yours is? Okay, I'm going to whisper. Blue Peter badge, my word, I'm honoured.
I had to design a costume for one of the presenters.
Oh, do you know which presenter?
So long ago.
So Val Singleton type days, yeah, that sort of day. Okay, so some of us will remember me. Yeah, no, well, there we are, two people. My word, sort of deep respect there, because Blue Peter badges are quite rare, aren't they, I think. Okay, so there we go. Jolly good. Let's have a look at the next trophy or prize. Oh, I can see some puzzled looks.
Davis Cup.
Well done, that man. Yeah, excellent job. Dave, do you know what the Davis Cup is? Does anybody know what the Davis Cup is for? Heard what the Davis Cup is? Tennis. You see, if I'd have said Andy Murray, And, of course, Britain won it. It was a couple of years back, didn't they, with Andy Murray, pretty much. So, Davis Cup. And it's a massive trophy. I should have put another picture there. You can't really lift it. It's a massive, massive trophy. So that's the Davis Cup for tennis. OK, here comes the next one. Oh, some said Mastermind. We got Master Chef, that's right, I think so. Yeah, Master Chef. So we've got Master Chef. Okay, jolly good. That's good. And the last one, I think, coming up now. Somebody's got it down here. Go on. The Monopoly World Championship. And now you can see it, you can probably guess it, can't you? Because it's that little man that's on the front of the box and so on. I was trying to get really obscure trophies like, you know, the World Tiddlywinks Champion and that sort of thing, but couldn't find that sort of thing. But there you go. So a few trophies and prizes to have a look at there. And did you notice that when we were listening to the reading that Yvonne was reading to us, that there was a prize mentioned in that reading from Philippians 3. So we've just been looking at a few trophies and prizes, but Paul talks about a prize, and he says this: I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And so we've got that verse up there, and this is the verse that we're going to be focusing on through today. So the prize, is that prize a trophy? Is it a certificate? Is it some sort of an award? Is it a bag of sweets? What's the prize? What is the prize? Well, the Apostle Paul is talking about something that is to come at the end, but also something that we already have as Christians. In the Christian life, the race begins the moment that a person puts their faith in Jesus as their Saviour, the moment they are born again. They admit that they are a sinner, and they admit that they need to be punished for their sins against God. They believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day to pay the price for all sin. They confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, and the race begins the moment that person puts their faith and trust in the Lord. What are they racing for? The prize every believer races for is eternal life, the moment that he or she believes in Jesus. One day, when we die, we will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. That's the prize. We know that Jesus has victory over death, and we trust and hope for the best result ever in life. Now, most sports or games or things that we do, even maybe exams, tests, that sort of thing, we don't tend to know what the result will be. We don't tend to know what the outcome will be. We might have some idea, but we don't know exactly. Think back to the World Cup. All of us as fans, thinking about results, perhaps thinking about England. Certainly TV pundits talking with as much authority as they could muster about what they think might happen, predict the result, who's going to win, who's going to lose, what the team will be, all that sort of thing. But actually, they don't know what the result is going to be. And I guess all of us, many of us, were pleasantly surprised to see England get to the World Cup semi-finals. Nobody had particularly thought that was coming. It wasn't a result that people had predicted. And it's the case with most things that we do, most things that we work towards, sports-wise, games, any activity that we're involved in. We don't always know what the result is. And we might be a bit nervous, a bit anxious as to where it's going to go, because we don't know what the result is. But putting our trust and our faith in Jesus, we know the victory is secure. The result is not in doubt. The outcome we know as we start the race. And because we know the results and we know the price, that affects, or at least it should affect, the way that we live our lives day to day. Knowing the result means that we should be running the race or playing the game each day in such a way that we are prepared to see Jesus face to face. Okay, so we're back to our passage in Philippians, and we thought a little bit a few moments ago about the prize. But how should we be going about claiming the prize? Well, we need to prepare. Now, how many of you out there practice or train for something that you do? Particularly if you go to sport. Certainly what Mitch has achieved, a lot of practice and training. A lot of practice and training going down here. Lots of things that we do, whether that's on our own or together, involve practice or training. A runner prepares by training his or her physical body to endure the challenges of the race. Their goal is to win the race. But even if they don't win, they still want to cross the finishing line triumphantly. Maybe doing a personal best, certainly trying their best and get a sense of giving everything that they can to cross the line. And they also prepare their minds. It's that's the whole psychology of sport these days, isn't there? It's not just about the physical stamina and the physical fitness that's needed. And it's true of all sports that there are other things other than just the physical fitness. There are things like skills of the game or the equipment that you're using with the game, your skills in using those. Maybe there's tactics as a team. There are formations. There are things about knowing the opponent, knowing when to defend, knowing when to attack. All the sort of stuff that pundits go on about on TV and earn loads of money for and talk rubbish, really, don't they? And we all think we know better. How many times have Yvonne and I sat in front of a sports thing and we'll say something and then the commentator or the pundit says it and we said, there you go, we knew that. Why aren't we being paid loads of money for that? So we all like to be armchair sports people, don't we? And we like to be the England manager. Malcolm's wearing his Gareth Southgate waistcoat, especially for that. So that's, you know, he's doing his bit from the sidelines. So we all like to do that. But it's true, really, with anything that we do. It's not just about sports. Anything that we do in our lives, whether that's an activity that we enjoy doing, like perhaps music or art and craft or something like that, but actually in our day-to-day jobs, we still train, we still practice so that at the end of the occasion, at the end of what we're doing, we've done our best, we've achieved our best in whatever it is that we are doing. As Christians, we prepare to cross the finish line and gain the prize of eternity with Jesus by training our spiritual lives, our lives inside. And we do that by growing. And we grow when we spend time reading God's word, the Bible, learning about who he is in his word. We grow when we pray and we see God answer our prayers. We grow when we read and obey what the Lord is teaching us. We grow also as we listen to God and respond to him. Just as an athlete has a regular training schedule, often a daily schedule, so we too must have a daily schedule to prepare us for what God has in store for us. Just like an athlete, we need to make our preparation and our training our number one priority. Because if it isn't our priority, and we take our eyes off that prize, then very soon we'll find other things blocking the way, other things of the world starting to draw our attention and our priorities being diverted towards what the world has to offer. Preparing for the prize also includes serving others. We're commanded at the end of Matthew to go and make disciples. That means we're to go into all the world and share the good news about Jesus so that others can see the prize and others come and join the race as well. Also, when you're in a sports team or with a group of others involved in a team, as we've already heard, it involves everybody contributing. Plans and tactics are discussed. Experience of what has worked before is shared. New ideas are brought to the team by individuals. And as Christians, we're called to serve each other and to serve the body of Christ, the church, the people here. In Ephesians, it tells us that God has prepared a work for each and every believer. And as we prepare and train individually, he will show us how we contribute to the wider body of the church, how we can serve the team. So that's how we prepare. But we know that in sport, sometimes there are times when an athlete or a team struggles. Trust me, I know what it's like when a team struggles. Some of us know that all too well in here. So what do we do then? Well, more of that in a few moments. Now, back to a question of sport. And it's all eyes on the screen. So perhaps children in the corner there, if you're watching, is that screen working in the corner there? It is, brilliant. So if we can all have a look at the screen, because we're into that very popular round in a question of sport, which is what happened next? Who likes that one? Now, I read recently that they don't do that so often now. And actually, if you're a regular watcher of it, it hasn't been around for quite a few years. The reason being that with the advent of sort of internet and YouTube and all that sort of thing, there are so many clips out there of sporting mishaps that actually, when they come to ask the questions, it's really hard to try and find a clip of something that nobody knows the answer to. So that round has actually been less and less more recently. But we're going to do a what happened next now. So we're going to see a clip, and I think all the details come up on the screen as we go. And then we're going to do what they always do on a question of sport, and we freeze it at the important moment. And your task is to try and work out or try and see if you know what happened next. Thanks, Anne. So, does anybody know what happened next? We've got somebody down here. Come on, I'm going to bring the mic down. Yeah, go on. He just said, do you want all of what happens next? So, yeah, I've just said, go on.
His hamstring goes.
Yeah.
He then pulls up about 250 metres into the race. Someone comes running out of the crowd, some stewards try to stop him, and it turns out it's his dad who carries him to the finish line.
Fantastic. Well, in the true spirit of what happened next, we say, shall we see if he's right? Yes. Let's do it then. Absolutely right. Well done, Tim. So some of us may well have actually remember watching that back in 1992. For some of us it was too early, but I had the good fortune to go and hear Derek Redman speak a few months back. It was at an Essex Primary Head Teachers Conference, and he was booked as the after dinner inspirational speaker, and amongst many other things he played this clip, and he described his feelings and his determination to go on. And apart from being a really sort of amusing and interesting speaker, because he did a whole load of things about sport in general, were really, really very interesting, he said in particular, he said that people ask him now how he finds life now that he's no longer an athlete, and his response was really interesting. He said, I'm still an athlete, I've just changed jobs. I still apply all the principles of my training as an athlete to what I do now. And then he started to apply it to the people in the room, i.e. lots of head teachers, and said, it should be the same for you and what you do in school and what children do in school as well. And actually, interestingly enough, within my school a few months back, we had a GB long jumper that came in, a guy called Ezekiel Iwolo. He's not sort of right up in the top lines of long jumping, but he's a really interesting guy to listen to, and he did a fantastic thing with the children about, it's not just about the jumping, it's about everything that you do in life, whether you're doing your maths and your English in school, it's about training for it and applying for it. And Derek Redman was saying that in his moment of distress and his moment of disappointment and the injury and the pain, he talked about perseverance. He talked about keeping going. And the Apostle Paul does the same thing. He says in verse 12 of Philippians 3, he says, I press on, I keep going, I persevere to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus has taken hold of me for the prize, and I'm going to keep going. And it's easy to go and keep going, isn't it, when the race is going well? What about when it's tough and you're tempted to quit? There may be some severe difficulties that come our way. Perhaps illness, health problems, money problems. Maybe there are friends and relatives who are not Christians and are openly critical of us. Maybe we fall into the wrong crowd and they draw us away from the things of Jesus. Maybe we have doubts in what we believe. Maybe we get lazy over spending regular time with God and we take our eye off the prize. Well, that's when we need to persevere. We need to go back to the things that we mentioned earlier, the things that we do to prepare, to train on a day-to-day basis. Spend time with God. Remember his word and the promises that it contains. Remember how he's answered prayer in the past and keep praying. Remember how he's been faithful in the past and continues and will be continued to be faithful. We need to press on with the training. We need to persevere and to continue to prepare for the prize. And that's where the team can help. Did you see on the clip, the crowd, they started to cheer him. They started to stand up and clap and cheer. And obviously there was nice music going on, inspirational music going on behind. But if you look at the original clip, the crowd are cheering. They're really willing him on. And then his father comes onto the track. And he pushes away the stewards, and there are various angles that you can see this if you go onto YouTube, but he pushes away the stewards that are trying to take him away, and he says, no, I'm going to be here with my son. So his father is there with him to go across the finish line. And last year, Yvonne and I were at the World Athletics up at the London Stadium. We went to see Mo Farah, and he was in the heats of the 5,000 metres. And he crossed the line first, won his heat, and all the TV cameras and all the press guys were all around him, all that sort of thing. And he was the one that was at the centre of attention. But there was this one guy who had been lapped definitely once, it might have been twice. So whilst all the attention was on the attention on the TV cameras, everybody was huddled around Mo Farah, this guy kept running around the track. And as he got about 200 metres from home, about 200 metres away, suddenly there was a sort of a ripple of applause. And it got more and it got more from the whole stadium for this one guy who was last, but he was still going to get across the finish line. And as he hit the finish line, there was a big way from the crowd to encourage him to go across. And, you know, that Yvonne's got a T-shirt on today with Yvonne written on it, because she ran in the Brighton Marathon, and I'm told when you run a marathon, I haven't done it, but there'll be some of you that have done. If you've got your name on the T-shirt as you're running, when you hit sort of about 20 miles, you really don't want to know after that. And to hear people say, come on, Yvonne, come on, come on. I mean, we were there cheering, but we knew the name. But to suddenly hear people that you don't know from Adam suddenly saying, come on, Yvonne, you can do it, you can do it. It's really important. And that reminds me of the verses in Hebrews where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of the Hebrews is talking about a crowd, a great crowd of people watching on. The supporters, if you like, the supporters that are in heaven, the supporters that are here on earth. They want us to do well. We all want each other to do well. The rest of the team, all of us here, brothers and sisters in church, we can all draw strength and encouragement from those around us. And in turn, we can offer the same as we look to support and encourage others around us as we serve each other in the body of Christ. Yvonne's going to come up now and help us to think a little bit more, perhaps, about what we might do with this verse that is on the screen.
I'm just going to summarise a little bit of this morning for you now as we draw the service to a close. The Christian race isn't always easy. It's probably more like a marathon than a sprint because it takes a long time. But it's important to persevere and to keep on with our preparations. And in so doing, we will reach our potential in Christ, which is what he wants for us. And remember that the prize is worth it. That prize that Chris spoke about at the beginning of the service is worth it. It's there. But Christ wants us to reach our potential in it. Father God, you've heard our prayers and requests. Help us to play our part and persevere for you, knowing that we are in your hands as we look to serve you. Amen.